Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. What a beautiful day it is to gather together to see all your smiling faces and to praise God this morning. Welcome to our online community as well. Good to have you with us. We hope that you are also going to be touched by this service this morning. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here with all of you, enjoying life and ministry together. This is a congregation, as you know, that would want to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways, and your connection card that you received in your bulletin has many of those opportunities. But today, especially if you came through the community room, you saw there's a ministry fair happening today. You can find out even more about some of the opportunities to serve outside and be within the walls of this church and outside the walls as well. We also are a praying congregation, and so I invite you to use the yellow prayer cards that you'll find in the pew backs. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we would be blessed to be able to pray for them. We have a group that meets every Thursday that responds to all of those prayer cards. Our worship leaders this morning helping us out are Suzanne Everett and Tom Doan. We have the choir and the bells today, so extra bonus, everybody. And if you haven't already found your way to Sunday school, now is the time to do that. I have a few announcements to make, the first of which concerns next Sunday, May 12th. The Young People's Worship Arts will present The Bible Tells Me So show. Did that without lisping. How about that? It'll be at both the 9:30 and 11 o'clock worship, so please come and enjoy the children. They work hard on this. Susan does a fabulous job, and it will be uplifting for sure. The other thing I want to invite you to is everyone is welcome to the all-church picnic. It's at Whitmore Lake on May 26th. There'll be service at 11 o'clock, which means there won't be service here at 11 o'clock. So if you are thinking about coming, we'll have the 9:15, and then you can head over for the picnic, or you can head over for the 11 o'clock service. There'll be worship and music and food, and it'll be a great time. We'll be had by all. There's volunteer space on the connection card if you'd like to help out with any of the preparations for the picnic. Also on the connection card is a space to ask for paperless giving statements. In order to save some trees and some paper and some postage, we're going to ask as many of you as can to sign up for e-receipts and e-giving statements. And you can mark that on your giving card, on the connection card. And also tonight, my last announcement is the town hall meeting at 5 o'clock. It will be regarding the general conference, which closed on Friday. Lots of things happened, and so if you want to get the scoop, be here at 5 o'clock tonight. You're going to get a little preview this morning with Lindsay's sermon as well. So I hope that you will be able to join us at 5 o'clock. That's all the announcements I have for this morning, and so I'm going to ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn, Walk With Me. It's in the Black Faith We Sing hymnal.
Thank you. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, we humbly pray that you would lead us through this life. Guide our confirmands who are joining the Methodist Church today. Help them to build strong roots in you so that they will be able to stand up when strong winds threaten to blow them off course. In your name we pray. Amen. 2:6-7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice. Let us be glad in it. It is great to welcome you to worship this morning. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves at the congregation. It is wonderful to be with you on this glorious Sunday morning. I'd invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Let's pray together. Oh, good and gracious God, giver of this beautiful gift of life, and this day to gather and worship and praise you. We praise you, Lord, for the joys that we can name on our hearts and minds this morning, and we turn to you in a spirit of prayer for those laments and those griefs and those heartaches and burdens that we carry. You, who God, who know our every need, who is always present with us every single moment of our journey of life, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us in the spirit of worship today, and that we might discover you anew and fresh. O Lord, speak to us through the songs that we sing and the hymns that we hear, the prayers that we pray, and the scripture that we hear this morning. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock, you who are our Redeemer, and the one that calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're into the third week on a sermon series called The Wesleyan Way, as we have been thinking about what does it mean to walk as disciples of Jesus Christ in this way, this tradition rooted in the United Methodist tradition, rooted in the tradition from our heritage of John Wesley. And the very first week that I was preaching, we were looking at this verse from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse starting at verse 29, and we heard this scripture that I want us to listen to again. Jesus is talking with a lawyer there, and he says, and when asked what those greatest commands are, Jesus says, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And this is the second command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And we have been thinking about what does it mean to walk in the Wesleyan way as disciples of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to love God and to love neighbor? And we've been thinking about these three simple rules as disciples of Jesus. We want to love God. We want to love neighbor. And we've been thinking about some three simple rules that come from our Wesleyan heritage. This commitment to do no harm, to do good, and to stay in love with God. So this morning we're thinking about, and what does it mean to stay in love with God? I brought with me this morning three Bibles that have great meaning and significance. As you can imagine, as a pastor, I have a number of books on my bookshelf. The whole office is like wallpapered in books, and I'm not like some of my colleagues that are great about reading things on their iPad and, you know, have thousands of books on their iPad. I'm a paper person, and so I carry with me a lot of books. And I brought three Bibles this morning that have been significant in my faith journey. The first one I have here, this was my third grade Bible. Do you remember getting your third grade Bible? What transition or translation did you have? Did it have pictures inside it? Was it King James or NRSV? This was my third grade Bible presented from my home congregation in Lincoln, Nebraska. This is another significant Bible. It says it was presented to me on the 8th of June, 1997. This was my Confirmation Sunday Bible. We're celebrating our confirmands. And this one that has sticky notes and it's
quite a few scratch marks on it. It's well worn and loved. This one was from my parents. It was shared with me at the time of my commissioning. That's a part of your commissioning, is a part of your ordination process. You're commissioned and then ordained a few years later. And I brought these three Bibles today. You maybe have Bibles that are important to your faith journey. Maybe you received a third grade Bible or a confirmation Bible. Maybe you received a Bible at the time of your wedding. Some people have that tradition. Or maybe you've received a Bible at the time of graduating from high school, or you've received a beautiful Bible passed down from your family, from generations. Do you have old books of the Bible that you can open up that have been passed down from generation to generation, a family one? I'm seeing a few nods. The way of Scripture helps us to stay in love with God, to be rooted in Jesus Christ, to open up the Gospels and to hear the beautiful stories of Jesus' life and ministry, to look open the letters of Paul and to see the letters that were written to the early church community, to look to the Old Testament and the prophets, and to look at the Pentateuch and to read the scriptures of our faith tradition to help us to stay in love with God. What other ways is it that you stay in love with God? What other ways do you read the scriptures every morning or evening? What are the ways in which you connect with God in faith? Wandering the mission tables this morning, I was walking the loop and getting to walk around and see pictures and getting to pick up, I guess it's sitting on the pew there, getting to pick up papers and getting to see stories and getting to talk to mission leaders. And I was walking the perimeter in the community room, online congregation that's with us. We're having a mission Sunday. There's a missions fair going on in the community room. And walking the perimeter and seeing the pictures and looking at the ways in which people are invited to serve was reminding of the beautiful ways in which we seek to stay in love with God. To put on our gardening gloves, to pull out our aprons to serve at St. Andrew's breakfast, to get on our work gloves, to go down to Cass Community Social Services, to get out our pots and pans and to be willing to serve and to take our faith and translate it from what we're learning in the faith and grounded in the scriptures and put it into action, seeking to love God and neighbor and staying in love with God. Are you a person that likes to put your faith in action? Are you mission-oriented? Are you scripture-rooted? Another way, perhaps you enjoy staying in love with God when we don't always have the words to say, just sitting silently for a moment and meeting God in prayer. We have the beautiful prayer traditions of our church. We pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. We can pray that on our knees or at our bedside or in visiting somebody and a dear loved one in the hospital. We can share the beautiful prayers of our faith like the Lord's Prayer. Or perhaps you enjoy engaging in different types of prayer practices, contemplative prayer or breath prayer or Lectio Divina styles of prayer, or just the even, Lord, help me, I don't know what to do prayer. God knows our hearts and minds. Are you a praying person, rooted in scripture and serving and mission and lifting our prayers up to the world? There are many ways in which we can stay in love with God, lots of ways in which we perhaps go out into the nature and enjoy the beauty of creation all around us as our bell choir and as our vocal choir sang this morning, the beauty of creation, lots of ways to stay in love with God. To do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with God. Well, church, a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching, I was sharing that we were kind of on the eve of starting General Conference in the United Methodist Church, that long postponed General Conference that was supposed to take place in 2020, but because of the pandemic, it kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And finally, they were able to gather in Charlotte, in North Carolina, over the past 10 days. It wrapped up on Friday. And this international body, this gathering community, this body of over nearly 800 delegates of half clergy and half laity gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina, for an opportunity to worship. And perhaps you were one that logged on every morning at 8 o'clock for a time of worship at the gathering body of General Conference. Or maybe you logged in to see what on earth is happening at General Conference, or maybe you've had a chance to follow some United Methodist news sources or to get up to speed. As you may remember, our General Conference is a legislative-making body. It's the body that has the ability to amend our Book of Disciplines or our social principles. The book of the General Conference, as they gather every 4 years, we're finally able to meet. And I wanted to share with you a few summations, a few summaries of some things that took place at General Conference this morning. And I'll invite our tech team to pop up the slide about this evening's town hall. But to hear more, please come tonight to, it says April 28th, but we're also having it tonight. Come tonight at 5 o'clock, and we'll be able to have a chance to share a little bit more of some of these summaries of things that took place. But this morning, I want to share a letter from Bishop David Allen Bard. He's our Episcopal bishop. He's our bishop for the Michigan area, the Upper Peninsula, Lower Peninsula. He's our bishop. And this is a pastoral letter from Bishop Bard. These are his words I want to share with us this morning. He says, "Dear friends in Christ in the United Methodist Church in Michigan, many of you have heard about what has happened at the postponed 2020 General Conference. Delegates have made three historic major changes in the United Methodist Church, referred by those in attendance as the three R's: regionalization, revision to the United Methodist social principles, and removal of language that limits the participation of LGBTQ persons in the church and was considered harmful by many. I've outlined those key actions taken at General Conference below. Please come tonight, and John and I will get into more about the three R's a little bit, so please come so we can have more dialogue back and forth. While many," and Bishop Bard continues, he says, while there were moments when things moved slowly during those plenary sessions, the news from General Conference these past 2 weeks came in torrents. I had to look that word up, like spraying like a water hose. For many, you might have felt like drinking from a fire hose. There were legislative petitions that tracked, not to mention the commentary offered by different groups with different perspectives or agendas, and I encourage us all to take time to breathe, to pray, and to digest what has happened. As you know, I have long favored widening the table in the United Methodist Church, expanding our tent. Pastors can now officiate at the weddings of parishioners without worrying if those parishioners are in same-sex relationships or if they might face ecclesial charges, church charges. Persons can respond to the call of God on their lives, and boards of ordained ministry can discern those calls, regardless of sexual orientation of the person being called. For those troubled by these developments, I would say we are now genuinely agreeing to disagree without fear of church penalties or punitive processes. Appointments will continue to be made, taking an account of church and community contexts. Churches and pastors will make decisions about weddings. Local churches and pastors will make decisions about weddings. Well, I will write more about the General Conference next week in my blog, and I would like to conclude by sharing my hope that our United Methodist Church will be able to focus more freely on staying centered in the risen Christ and staying grounded in our scriptures. I hope we will focus on engaging in the spirit-filled ways in the mission to which we are called in making disciples of Jesus Christ so that people can experience the healing and freeing grace of God in their lives, and so that the world may be made more just and loving and compassionate, I look forward to sharing this journey in ministry with you. Grace and peace, Bishop Alan Bard. I share his words and an invitation to please join Pastor John and I and the clergy this evening in being able to digest and converse about what all of that means. As people of faith, we seek to do no harm, do good, and to stay in love with God. As I look out into the mission community field, as I look out into the mission community room, as I look around the congregation, I have so much hope. Because I see a community of faith that is seeking to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with God. I see a community of faith that is rooted in Scripture and serving in action and lifting the world in prayer. I see people that are saying yes to calls placed upon their heart by God and wanting to join in the mission of Jesus Christ to transform this world. Y'all are living the Wesleyan way. You're walking as disciples of Jesus Christ. There's much work to be done, a great mission field to which we are being called. And I hope that you can feel the transformation, the love of Christ here, and the hope for this amazing world. I would invite you this week to keep an open door, an open spirit, and an open eye out for ways in which you might be surprised by God's grace, and ways in which you might be able to share that grace with the world in a way that you hadn't thought possible before. Won't you look out and care for one another? Won't you look for an opportunity to be a giver of God's good grace on this Wesleyan way? Please join me in prayer. Oh, loving God, giver of all good gifts, we thank you for your grace that's given new to us each day. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ given to us through his death upon the cross and his resurrection on Easter morning. We thank you for the call that you've placed upon us to go forth in this world to transform it in your name. We thank you, Lord. We humbly seek to walk in your way. We seek to walk in the Wesleyan way rooted in Jesus Christ. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. As I was preparing for to lead us in prayer this morning, I was looking at the scripture verse, and it ends with a note of thankfulness. And that sent me back to January when we were talking about gratitude. So if you were here in January, you may have picked up a prayer or a gratitude journal. And I won't ask for a show of hands to see who's still writing in their gratitude journal. I haven't been 100% consistent, but I was making some notes. And when I do jot down those thoughts at the end of the day, it helps me grow rooted in my faith and lifts my spirit to celebrate with an abundance of thankfulness. So with that focus, I invite you to take a posture consistent with your prayer practice. And let's pray together. God of all creation, we are grateful for the springtime. We rejoice in the reawakening of the earth, the return of the songbirds, the trees bursting with flowers and fresh leaves fanned out for the warming sun. Our hearts are lifted by the beauty that surrounds us in nature. When we focus on gratitude, our hearts are encouraged and our lives are rooted in the teachings of Jesus to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Practicing gratitude reminds us of your love for us and how that love empowers us to share your love with the world around us. For even in our weakness and doubt, we give thanks for all the ways you love us and bring hope to life. For the work of General Conference, we give you thanks. In this attitude of gratitude, Lord, we offer these prayers of hope and mercy for those in our community who experience harm through policies, ignorance, or bullying. We ask for your help in repairing that harm. We rejoice for the opportunity to right our wrongs. Show us the way to justice. For those in our midst who suffer from illness, loneliness, grief, or despair, bring healing and consolation. Help us know how and where to be your angels on earth. For those in the world suffering from violence, natural disaster, addiction, or war, we pray that your mercy would be a blanket that covers and heals these wounds. This morning we bless three prayer quilts offered for the healing and restoration of Fran Crouch, Jim Fales, and Mark Wilcox. May they feel the love of our prayers and be reminded that, like being wrapped in a beautiful quilt, God's love is an ever-present source of comfort and hope. And now we offer our personal prayers of thankfulness and intercession with a moment of silent connection to the God of abundant love. Thanks be to God. Now, let's lift our voices as one, using those words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This day, as we come to gather around the communion table, it's a space where all are welcome to come and receive and experience God's amazing grace given to us through Jesus Christ. All are welcome at the table, whether you are young or young at heart, whether you are United Methodist your whole life, or you come from another denomination tradition, or if you're a visitor and the first time coming to our church congregation, all are welcome to receive, for it's Christ's table. The table is expanded to everyone here this morning. We come and remember the story of Jesus gathering with his disciples in the upper room.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Lord, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, making them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we in turn may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all in the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours now, God, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, when the ushers will invite you to come forward, you'll be invited to come forward from serving from the front to the back. You'll be invited to come forward through these side angled aisles. There, one of our communion stewards will share with you a piece of bread and the juice. So the pieces of bread are cut up into small little pieces, and then you'll be invited to take a cup from the grape juice, a small cup. You can go ahead and eat the bread and the juice right away. And as you're making your way then down the center aisle to return to your seat, you're going to see some small baskets there. Please return your cup to those small little baskets there. Once you come forward, as you're invited by the ushers from front to back, and I would also invite our communion servers to come forward at this time as well.
Take this bread.
this time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive today's offering. Just a reminder, we're just closing in on that goal for our youth scholarships for camp for this summer. So if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, please do so soon so we can make those kids' dreams come true. We appreciate all that you give to this church. The mission fair is just one example of all the ways that this congregation gives of its talents and its time and its witness. Thank you again.
Lord, we are grateful for the young people who have come to know you through this community of faith. Bless the offerings we bring to support the ministries of this church. Help us to use them to spread your message of love and acceptance. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear church, this day and always may you go forth to love God and neighbor, seeking to do no harm, doing good, and staying in love with God, however it is that you do that. I encourage you to go take a peek at the missions fair if you didn't have a chance to stroll before worship and find ways to serve and get connected. Go in peace this day. Know that God loves you abundantly. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.